so often the sermon is in the song. And so that was like a sermon. I get to be like the dessert. And I like dessert. So good to see all of you this morning. Welcome to New Hope Church. My name is David Miles. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a privilege to open up God's Word as we continue in this series through the book of Ephesians that we started last fall, and that we're now in chapter 4 through 6, 9, discussing a new way to live. So this is really, really cool. Words count. They have the power to hurt or to help. What's that saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words would never hurt me. And you and I both know that's a lie, right? That's a lie. Think about and think back to when you were young. Or you could actually just think back to the last week. What were some of the words that you heard from the significant adults or other people in your lives? Were they words that encouraged, that were positive, that brought life, that they filled your sails with wind, they inspired you to great heights, they gave you hope and perseverance and boldness and persistence? Or were they negative words that cut and that you can remember even to this day? Whatever the conversation was, words were used. Listen, brothers and sisters, words count. Make them matter for good and for eternity. You see, we've been in this series in the book of Ephesians, and what's so sweet about it is after a warm greeting that Paul gives in chapter 1, he affirms the glorious fact that believers in Christ have been showered with God's kindness, chosen for his greatness, marked by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit's power, freed from the curse of sin and bondage, brought into a new humanity, into a new family, and have been showered with Christ's love. That's the reality. And then in chapter 4:1, this series, A New Way to Live, Paul starts off and he says, listen, walk or pursue a life, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to unpack this, which we've been doing, and he comes to chapter 4:23 and he says, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, we're a part of a new family. And we've been in verses 25 through 6-9. And here's some really sweet things. You see, you may have grown up in a family where falsehood is okay and lying was okay. But in chapter 4, verse 26, it says, in God's family, we put away falsehood and we speak the truth to one another. Now you may have grown up in a family where people just blew up. They just said what was on their mind. And they were inclined to hold grudges. But we saw in chapters 26 and 27 that we are angry, but we do not sin. And that we do not allow the devil to set up a Motel 6 in our life by holding on to grudges. You may have grown up in a family where stealing is okay, but in God's family, no, we work with our hands. And you might have grown up in a family where hoarding is the norm. And what we learned last week for Pastor Pablo is that no, we've been given honest work in order to share with others in needs. And today, brothers and sisters, we're going to see how in God's family our words matter. And we're going to do this by looking at three things. We're going to look at the priority of good speech, the person who hears our speech, and the pattern of speech to put away. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read together. As we read God's word, please say amen when you get there. You can actually say amen because Ephesians 4:29, unlike Ezra chapter 13, 1 through 30, is in the Bible. You have to go back to the January 20th message for that one. I'm reading from the ESV. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only as such for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Have a seat as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word, which is living and active and speaks to us today and in this moment. And we ask, Lord, that we not just hear things, but that we would be transformed by the word of God as we move towards Jesus and take others with us. And the church said, amen. Our first point is the priority of good speech. Look at verse 29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. You see, that word corrupt is a colorful word that's used to describe this. This is what this looks like. This is a piece of rotten fruit. Okay, how you like to sink your teeth into that? Not it, exactly. The word being used is describing rotten fruit. This is the same word, as it stays up here, that Jesus used to describe in Matthew 7:17 when he says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And what they're calling us from, Paul's calling us away from corrupt speech, but he's calling us to this encouragement going on in verse 29. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And in this section, Paul says four things about our speech. Number one, it needs to be good. This is the opposite of that, rotten. And we can say that not everything being said today is good. You could turn on late night TV. Actually, it's changed. You can just turn on TV and the radio. And most of what comes out isn't good. Most monologues in late night are known to have these elements: sexual jokes, slander, gossip, and put downs. But you see, in God's family, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, honorable, pure, lovely, just, commendable, if there is anything excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. That's Philippians. But what did Mama say? Mama said, if you can't say anything nice, then what? Don't say nothing at all. So the first thing is that our words need to be good. Next, we see the words need to build up. You see, some of you have not had a person speak a kind word to you in what seems like your life. You haven't had someone to look at you and say that you are a once in eternity creation in God, that Jesus Christ shed his eternal blood for you to redeem you, and that there literally will be never be another one of you for all of eternity. That when God broke you, you can stack back and kiss yourself because God did break the mold. There's only one of you. But some have never heard that, which is why 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. I would not be here today if it wasn't for the people who have poured into me and continue to pour into me. It needs to be good. It needs to build up. It needs to fit the occasion. This literally says that we are to look literally to impart a blessing to someone. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Can I challenge you this week to do something? Can I challenge you just to take a few minutes, get a note and a piece of paper, and write a note to someone who greatly impacted your life and let them know? And while you're at it, take a few minutes and reach out and help somebody along who's in your sphere of influence. Not only is it good, build up, fits the occasion, but there's a purpose. It needs to give grace to the hearer, to give that incredible, unmerited favor of God. As those of us who have receive grace, that we are to be grace dispensers. I hope I'm not dating myself. How many of you guys remember those little Pez dispensers? Stick a little candy in there, you get a friend, and you'd be like, there you go. There you go. In the same way, God wants us to be grace dispensers. You see, I love this because yesterday in our ministry center, 135 plus grandparents who were representing 538 grandchildren gathered in that ministry center to learn to do just that. And I love the verse that they had for their conference. It said Psalm 78:7, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, meaning someone telling them about it, but keep his commands, meaning someone's telling them about it. And I love that the grandparents' conference that we had yesterday, they were seeing how they could live this out. And if you weren't able to attend, please see Joanne Lundberg, who oversees our grandparents' ministry, or go to our website, newhopechurchmn.org, where the materials are there, and check it out. Oh, but listen to me. Words count. Make them matter for good and for eternity. So the priority of good speech. Second, the person who hears our speech. Look at verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here Paul is echoing Isaiah chapter 63 verse 10, where the prophet recalls the Exodus event and how God had redeemed Israel out of Egypt with love and tender mercy, and how they rebelled against him in the desert, and they, here's his phrase, grieved his Holy Spirit. You see, we too, we have been redeemed by the gospel of Christ, and we also run the risk of grieving the Holy Spirit in our words and actions. And in this section, we want to not forget who the Holy Spirit is. Who's the Holy Spirit? One, he's a person. He can be grieved. He's not merely just a force. He's holy. This is key. Sin grieves him. And because he's holy, God must judge sin. Let's wind back a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It talks about how we've been enslaved to the three uglies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians 2, 1 says this clearly. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And listen, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And some would say, whoa, Pastor David, I'm new, I'm back to this church thing, but you're implicating me, saying that I was a child of wrath. Listen, life, that doesn't seem fair. You're right, life isn't fair, because if life was fair, we'd all be in hell. Let me break it down. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My kids laugh because I say it, but my definition is all means all, and that's all that all means. That's all of us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And all the sweetness of the gospel comes to Romans 5:8, and it says this, and while we were yet sinners, all of us, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. So he's a person, he's holy, and lastly, he's God. He's the expression of God in the third person of the Trinity. And Ephesians 2:21 says that this Spirit was making us into a dwelling place for God by the power of the Spirit. You see, back then they used to go to the temple. In Ephesians 2, it says, God is creating one new humanity of believers, bringing together Jews and Gentiles. And instead of going to a place, he says, I'm going to make a people the dwelling place of God for my Spirit. All right. We're also commanded in verse 30, do not grieve. The Holy Spirit is a person who can be saddened by the way that we live. So listen, this is not just about hurting others with our words, but also about grieving the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside us and glorifies the Lord. May I ask you, does the Holy Spirit cringe or cry when you talk to or about others? We're also told in verse 30 to not forget by whom you were sealed. Look at that. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, a Roman signet was on a ring and they would put wax on it. And the person would stamp something to declare, this is my ownership. But I also want you to know that here it's a passive word. That literally, that it's God who is doing the sealing. The same word here for you were sealed is used earlier in Ephesians 1:13 when it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Until we take possession and acquire possession of it, that actually leads into the other part of verse 30. You were sealed for the day of redemption. We will take possession of this, which refers to Christ's return to bring judgment on the ungodly and full and final salvation to his people. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. But why is Christ's redemption important? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Let me ask you, are you placing your trust in Christ alone for your redemption? Not trying to be, you know, weigh it out. I'm a little bit better than less better. And I come to church and walk anyone across the street nowadays. But are you placing your trust in Christ alone for redemption? Because the words we say to the Holy Spirit, he hears them. Listen to me. Words count. Make them matter for good and for eternity. So we looked at the priority. We looked at the person. Third, we're going to address the patterns of speech to put away. Now, I want you to note, what we're about to get into is not an exhaustive list of do's and don'ts. These are just some things that are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to, in this moment, talk about the six things that strangle the life out of our relationships. Look at verse 31. Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, I want you to notice, we go through this, how these increase in their severity. The first word, bitterness. It comes from the word to cut. Actually, you know the word sarcasm? Sarcasm is a combination of two words. Sarx, which means flesh, and chasm, which means to divide. So literally, when we use sarcasm, we're saying we want to divide the flesh. Here, this word, bitterness, means to cut. And listen, it describes a spirit that refuses reconciliation. It's a term denoting that fretting and irritable state of mind that keeps a man in perpetual animosity. In John Bevere's book, good book, The Bait of Satan, he quotes Francis Frangipane, who gives an excellent definition of bitterness when he writes, bitterness is unfulfilled revenge. It is produced when revenge is not satisfied to the degree we desire. But oh, brothers and sisters, we're going to get in the word, baby. Hebrews 12 warns us and tells us, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain, there's that word, the grace of God. That no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. First word is bitterness. Now the next two words are often used together. And those words are paired together in scripture, wrath and anger. Now the difference between wrath or rage, the word is thumos, from which we get our word thermonuclear, is that that's an outburst of anger. It's a quick temper for selfish reason. Whereas anger, orge, is a continuous attitude of hatred that remains bottled up within. This is for those who look cool as a cucumber on the outside, but are literally Mount Vesuvius ready to explode on the inside. And I want you to notice, if bitterness, rage, and anger are left unchecked, they can eventually lead to our fourth word, clamor or brawling. This denotes yelling and shouting and screaming, and it has in mind several angry people shouting back and forth in a quarrel, trying to make their grievances known. They're raising their voice. They're yelling at each other. It's the tone. My wife Tammy likes to say, it's not so much what you say, though that's important, but also how you say it. Tell the truth, shame the devil. 90%, it's noted, of our frictions happens from the tone of our voices. And all one has to do is turn on a news show or listen to a radio show where people with opposing views are trying to have a discussion. Trying. No one's listening to one another. They're just waiting for the other person to take a breath so that they can say what's on their mind. And if we tell the truth this morning, right? We family. Doug and Linda, welcome to the family. We're perfectly imperfect people moving towards Jesus and taking others with you. So if you're looking for a perfect church, they messed up when they brought me here because Pastor David got issues. And I need the gospel every single day. And so the truth is, we do the same thing in our relationships with one another. Can we keep it real? Right? But listen, someone's noted that the best way to get the last word is to apologize. Next, the word slander or malicious talk. This is the word blasphemia, from which we get the word blasphemy. This is a word that denotes, quote, any kind of speech that is defamatory or abusive. Rogers and Rogers says that this has in mind destroying another person's good reputation by lying, gossiping, or spreading rumors. It indicates the attempt to belittle or cause someone to fall into disrepute or to receive a bad reputation. And we need to be careful about this because criticism is self-exalting. And Oswald Chambers rightfully noted, beware of anything that puts you in the place of the superior person. This is the MO, the modus operandi of the devil, whose very name at the end of Ephesians 4:27 is diabolos, from which we get the word diabolical, and whose nature is to slander and to accuse. Listen to me clear. You are never more on the devil's fantasy football team than when you practice this behavior. And Paul tells the Ephesians and us that all of these vices should be put away, along with the last one, malice. Malice is just a general term referring to an evil force that destroys relationships. It's a deliberate attempt to harm another person, and it's the opposite of the good that should come out of our mouth. Listen, pick your friends, but not to pieces. You see, Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So someone else has noted that everyone should have a special cemetery lot in which to bury the faults of their friends and loved ones. And next week, as Pastor Matthew opens Ephesians 4:32, he's going to get into that. Here's a big idea. And if you don't get anything from today's message, I want you to get this. I maybe mentioned it once or twice. Listen, words count. Make them matter for good and for eternity. But I want you to notice something really powerful in verse 31. And it's that these things be, quote, be put away from you. That you there is a plural. But the put away is literally, it's a passive. It means to be lifted from you. Why do you bring this up? Because this is God's work. This isn't just us buckling down and working through grit and grime to get it done. No, Christ has already accomplished this for us in the gospel. But I want you to notice too, I said the you is a plural. You see, God has placed us in communities. Communities like life groups or care groups, ASCs or men's and women's ministry. We weren't made to do life alone. Listen, life is short and life is hard when you do it alone. You see, you need a community like a life group or a care group or other to hear the good, to share and shoulder the bad, to encourage the faint-hearted, to challenge the complacent with a spiritual kick in the pants, and to serve others, to literally get out of your head and your navel-gazing and contribute to others. So words count. Glorify God and make them count for good and for eternity. We've heard the saying before that check yourself before you wreck yourself. And our conscience is a God. Our conscience is God's built-in warning system. Be very happy when it hurts you. Be very worried when it doesn't. And as you're hearing this message, somebody might be saying, you know, Pastor David, as you're going through this, as God's word is talking about building up and it's talking about corrupt speech and it's talking about these six things that destroy relationships, you know, that's me. That's me in part or in whole. And I don't want to be that way anymore. Well, friends, if you don't know Christ this morning, that's the first steps of the ABC of the gospel. A, acknowledge your sin and your need. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead to give you eternal life. C, confess that Jesus is Lord and ask him to come into your life and make you the person that he wants you to be. And if you know Christ, acknowledge your sin and need. Believe that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Preach the gospel. Continue preaching the gospel to yourself. And confess to Jesus, Lord, here's the steering wheel of my life. Take that bad boy back and you direct me on how I should go. And as we close, I want to give space and place for you to do business with God, yourself, and others. I want to invite you this morning, either you can stay seated where you're at, or the prayer rails are out if you feel the Lord telling you to come forward. But I want to give you a place, because sometimes we hear things and then we just kind of go out the doors. No, I think the Lord wants to work on in and through us this morning. Listen, you're like, whoa, Pastor David, you're asking that? Listen to this. Temper is what gets most of us in trouble. Pride is what keeps us there. So this morning, I want to do a little bit of a Holy Spirit inventory. I want all of us to ask some questions, and then we're going to take some time to pray and present this to the Lord. So asking, Holy Spirit of God, will you do an inventory in my life? Holy Spirit, am I known as one who builds up or one who tears down? Am I a dispenser of the undeserved grace that God has shown me? Or am I keeping you did me slightly wrong, and I ain't forgiven you? Ask, Holy Spirit, is there anything I say or think that grieves you? Having in mind the words that David said in Psalm 51, against you and you alone, O Lord, have I sinned. Holy Spirit, how am I in relation to my speech with regards to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice? Holy Spirit, am I engaged in patterns of speech that are harmful to my relationships and to this community of believers? And with that, Holy Spirit, will you help me put away whatever you show me by the power and love and the gospel and then receive your grace? So there's going to be a little music and there's going to be time, space and place for us just to say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. And it was cool because the Lord brought stuff to mind for me in the first service. And that was so good. So let's take some time right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, meaning if we agree with you and what you say about it, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise you that you're not a God who says, hey, I want you to share your faults so that I can stomp on you and shame you and break you even further down. But no, you say, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as like crimson, they shall be like wool. And if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God, thank you for this incredible, ridiculous gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that our speech and our words matter to you and to your children. And help us with our words, Lord God. Help us to see that as we speak against another believer, it grieves the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's in that believer as well as in us. So when we're speaking against the Spirit of God inside of them that Jesus died to give them. And so God, help us to let our words count and let them glorify you and bless others. Father, as we close, I want to just pray the blessing that you gave Aaron to pray over the nation in Numbers 6:34. That the Lord bless you and keep you. That the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.